Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Andrew Perella. I'm the producer on Something Wild. Thanks very much for subscribing and listening to NHPR's Something Wild. It's that time of year here at NHPR when we ask you, the listener, to chip in a little bit to help keep this podcast coming to you every week. And we have a special incentive to encourage you to do that. Actually, we have a couple of special incentives. It's public radio, right? So what is it going to be? It's a mug and a tote. But this mug and tote are pretty cool because they have a picture of the barred owl right on the mug, right on the tote. We're calling it the NHPR owl, but Something Wild subscribers, you and I both know that this is the Something Wild owl. You can get some swag with the owl on it. It's a really nice green mug with the owl on it. We have a and the tote is more of a natural colored fiber cottony tote with the owl printed on it. They're pretty cool. Take a look at them both online at nhpr.org. While you're there, order one for yourself, order one for some friends. We'll send you the mug with your gift of $60. We'll send you the tote for your gift of $120. All you need to do now is go over to nhpr.org and place your order, which will help us bring to you this, your favorite podcast, in the weeks to come. So thank you very much for your support. If you've already given, if you haven't, please do so now. We'd also like to give special thanks to our sponsor, the Currier Museum of Art. Explore the art, science, and adventure of the Northeast's tallest peak in Mount Washington, the crown of New England, now through January 16th, exclusively at the Currier Museum of Art. More info at currier.org. And here's Chris and Dave.
What do you got there, Dave?
This is the Something Wild mailbag.
Anything interesting?
It says here I may have already won $1 million. Oh, and here's a postcard from Phoebe.
Who?
The Eastern Phoebe that nests inside my woodshed.
Yeah, the Eastern Phoebe. What'd she say?
Well, the usual. Eating lots of bugs. Miss the old woodshed. Wish you were here. XO Phoebe.
Where is she?
It looks like somewhere in the Florida Keys.
You know, it's interesting to think about our feathered friends who've left us for the winter and where they might be now. From New Hampshire Audubon, I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society. This is Something Wild. So yeah, we love to admire the birds when they're here with us, but by the time winter arrives, they're out of sight, out of mind. As far as some folks know, they've simply flown to some mysterious place called South.
That's right. As if all the birds have gone to some avian sandals resort.
Sipping margaritas, playing beach volleyball, until it's time to come back home.
But seriously, these birds are not on vacation. They've moved to a more hospitable place in order to survive.
Yeah, too cold. Too little food for them to survive the winter here in frigid New Hampshire, so they migrate.
But migration is not one size fits all. Different species practice different forms.
What do you mean?
Well, take ospreys, for example.
Oh, those big fish-eating birds of prey of yours.
Yeah, since ice prevents them from diving for fish, they all leave New England in the fall. Most winter in South America, close to the equator.
Well, I assume that's what all migratory birds do, more or less.
It's not that simple. There's also what we call partial migrants.
Well, what's the difference?
Every osprey bails from New Hampshire in the winter, but that's not the case with partial migrants like eastern bluebirds.
This field guide says that bluebirds are at the northern edge of their range in Quebec, and they don't stay year-round.
Huh. It's true, but bluebirds here in New England can sometimes survive if they find enough food and shelter.
So the bluebirds in my backyard right now are year-round residents.
Could be. Or they might be short-distance migrants from Quebec, replacing the bluebirds you watched last summer.
Oh, that's cool.
Then there's what we call leapfrog migration.
Leapfrog? What?
Leapfrog migrants. Peregrine falcons, for example. Did you know that some peregrines nesting in Greenland migrate all the way to Argentina for the winter?
Wow, that's a huge journey, like 7,500 miles each way.
That's right. But other peregrines, like the two breeding in Manchester, stay put for the winter, and others move just a few hundred miles to where they overwinter.
So Arctic nesters migrate the farthest, leapfrogging past the ones from the mid-latitudes?
Yep.
We often think of migration with a capital M, like some irresistible urge that drives all birds south, but I can see now that's not the case.
Bird migration is full of nuances and variables. Not all individuals, even in a given species, behave the same way. If you're a bird, and you're able to weather the cold, you can conserve time and energy and avoid the risks of travel.
Well, that'd be an advantage come springtime as far as getting back quickly and reclaiming the best nesting territories.
That's right, but there are risks as well as rewards. If the weather suddenly turns cold or food becomes scarce, that bird might not survive.
Hey, some winters there are days when I'm not quite sure I'm going to survive either.
I hear you. Say, if you're looking for a distraction from the winter cold, how about subscribing to our Something Wild podcast on iTunes? We have lots of episodes about birds. For Something Wild, I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
La 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 la.